Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. A lot of weddings were pushed back and postponed last year because of the pandemic, much to the chagrin of engaged couples. If you are raring to go with your wedding plans now, how much are you going to spend? Did it ever occur to you that you might spend too much? And how much is too much? And how do you know? Well, we have great guests to help us through these sensitive questions tonight. Bridget Bartlett Royal is the founder and editor of Black Bridal Bliss. Say that three times fast. And Amber Moore is an event planner and CEO of The Right Event Company. We're going to help you get through the finances of a wedding. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to hear from you tonight. I want to hear from the grooms, from the brides, from folks who perhaps just got married, folks who are planning on getting married very, very soon. How much is too much? Where is the cutoff? And look, you can tweet me at H Fisher WHUR. You can follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Bridget, Amber, thank you for talking to me tonight. I appreciate your time.
Of course, of course.
And so who was that? I can't tell who that was. Bridget?
Oh, so sorry. This is Amber.
There you go. Amber, Bridget, Bridget, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. So we've got all of these B's. Bridget Bartlett. We got an R in there. Black Bridal Bliss.
I like alliteration.
Yeah.
It makes it catchy.
Yeah, I can tell. We're definitely going to get this done. Amber, thank you for having a much easier company to pronounce. Okay. So hopefully, Bridget, and I'll start with you. How do you know when you're spending too much on a wedding?
How do you know when you're spending too much on a wedding? It's very subjective. I would definitely be relative. I don't think there's a dollar amount per se, but when you aren't able to pay your basic bills, when you find that you're, tapping into an emergency fund, or you're having to, as my mother used to say, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, you are likely spending too much. This is going to seem trite, but I have to say it, and it cannot be stressed enough. The wedding is a day. The marriage will hopefully be a lifetime.
Absolutely.
So, you want to, make the biggest investment in your marriage, not necessarily your wedding. So how much is too much? When you just, I think your gut tells you, if you are really, really pinching pennies to be able to just sustain your basic lifestyle, then you've gone too far.
Mm-hmm. Amber, Bridget said it's all relative, but you don't want to have to borrow from your relatives, though.
Agreed. Yeah, I always say, when you borrow from relatives, that allows them to have an opinion in the decisions of your wedding. So if it's about the two of you for the day, ideally you want to have a good budget put together and stick to that budget throughout the time. Like she said, when you're starting to spend too much, you start to stress, and wedding planning shouldn't always be stressful. It should be a fun time. It should be exciting and make the best of it. It's a day, like she said, it's a day for the rest of your lifetime. There's going to be several more days throughout your lifetime where, you're going to be able to spend money. So What makes this day, you know, why go broke on this particular day?
So, Amber, you're married?
Yes.
Bridget, you're married?
I am.
Okay, so let me get in your business. How much did you spend on your wedding, Amber?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would say between the 15 to 20. And that's me being in the industry. So I also had discounts as with mine.
How long ago was that? When did you get married?
About 2.5 years ago.
So that wasn't too long. Those were pre-pandemic prices.
Correct. Yes.
Looking back, do you think you did the smart thing? I mean, do you think you were a smart shopper?
Oh, 1,000%. Oh, yes.
Okay.
There were certain things that I just did not do. One thing for me, I did not have a rehearsal dinner. Mm-hmm. We had a welcome reception instead. And it was kind of, hey, come say hello. Because on the day of, it may be a little hectic. And we want to make sure we say hi to everybody. So all of our out-of-town guests were welcome to that. Mm-hmm. Also, I didn't do programs. I didn't do favors. None of that was done. So I think my money was spent well. There's a lot of things that I cut dollars on, and there's some things that I wish I would have spent more money on.
Hmm. Okay. Same question for you, Bridget. How long ago, how much did you spend?
So I got married in 2013.
Okay.
And we spent around 20 as well, between everything between... Yeah, low 20. And that is not, so again, everything is relative. That's not a small amount of money.
Would you say 20? Child.
Right. But as Amber said, it actually could have easily been close to twice that.
Mm-hmm. I got to stop you right there. Because if I didn't have high blood pressure, I would have it now. As the father of a child in love,
mm-hmm.
But not anywhere near marriage. You know, and let me say, I'm thinking, yeah, okay, if you have that kind of money to spend, you know, Issa Rae got married, what was it, this week, and we've seen the mm-hmm. pictures. Now, she's a big baller shot caller and the whole bit. I get it. Okay. But when you said it cost $20,000 in 2013 and could have easily been twice that. You got me clutching my pearls.
Right. So I didn't get to finish.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say was that I did have a lot of, I work in media. I have a bridal block. I got a lot of perks.
Yes.
So that's what I meant. There were some things. So you're probably still clutching your pearls, but I'm just being honest. There were a lot of things I did not, that I had, that I did not pay for. Well, I did not pay for it in terms of money,
in
but
full price.
I certainly paid for it in,
right.
in exposure or what have you. And I also, to be completely transparent, we got married completely debt-free. I did have help, and I agree with Amber, but it is what it is. We had family help. We owed no one after the day was over. Hindsight is 20/20. There are some things that I would have done differently from a monetary standpoint.
Such as?
So I did have a bridal party, a wedding party. And honestly, you know, now that time has passed and I struggled with this. This is one of my talking points for the show. But I struggled with this because I didn't even necessarily want a wedding party. But as things started going, it kind of morphed into that because I was like, oh, no, we're going to call them the crew. And, well, they're just going to, you know. But I realized, like, my friendships are solid. I didn't need that. The same with my husband, you know. Everyone is different. I know that's a big deal to some brides and some grooms. Personally, I feel like my good girlfriends, my family members that were a part of the day, I know they would have been right there with me and helped even if they didn't have that quote unquote title. And one way you can save is bouquets, boutonnieres, you know.
Correct.
Thank you, gift. Correct. And it also sometimes is just more streamlined. But I will say one way I did save, because Harold, I can tell you're still clutching your pearls.
Yeah, I'm out of my chair. I'm actually sitting on the floor right now.
I did not have fancy transportation. That didn't matter to me. Again, everything is relative.
So you Ubered?
No, we took the hotel's free van. Mm-hmm. They had a free van service within, you know, like the hotel transportation will
shuttle service,
like a 5-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what we use. I also, like Amber said, I didn't have programs. Most people throw those away or leave them at the venue.
Right.
To be honest, we didn't do a top shelf open bar, but we had a special. Mm-hmm. We had 3 or 4 specialty cocktails, and we just use vodka. So if you didn't like vodka,
Of course. But, I mean, I can see where you're just saving money right and left.
To Bridget's point, though, I kind of did a little bit of the opposite, where she said she had a bridal party. I did not. I used family. Mm-hmm. I used my sister. And he used a family member as well, and that's all we had. We didn't have a flower girl. We didn't have a ring bearer. And same thing with the bar. We had an open bar, but it wasn't top shelf. Most of my guests were completely okay with that as well. And then I would say, in regards to the programs, same thing. I mean, just to reiterate, programs aren't necessary. You can just get one big board, put that up, and display that as best as you can. And then in regards to favors, we didn't do that, but we had a photo booth, and those can double down as favors if you need to. There's friends' houses that I still go to, and I see our photos on their refrigerator because they've just kind of posted it up. So that's their favor, so to say.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about weddings and money. How much is too much to spend on a wedding? Give us a call if you have a comment, if you have a question. What do you think? How much did you spend? How much do you want to spend on your wedding? Did you spend too much on your wedding if you've already had one? Give us a call. Let's go to Walter. I'm really interested in hearing what Walter has to say. Walter calling from Northeast. Walter, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Mr. Harold.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a suggestion.
I'm listening.
Watch Father of the Bride.
Let's not.
I'll tell you right now. Says if you have a daughter she ends up marrying somebody, you better watch it, because your life is going to be, let's just say, I will feel sorry for you.
See, here's the thing, Walter. You know, my daughter is a frugal fanny. My daughter has been frugal forever. And I'm almost not even worried about it when it comes to my daughter.
Watch the movie. You'll find out.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
This is what mine, because I walked my older sister when she got married.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I think it was no more than under $10,000.
Okay.
But that was back then. But I'm just saying, as a single bachelor, mm-hmm. and you look at, you buy the ring, the parents, the bride's family gets the wedding, you got to buy the tuxedo, the gown, you got the church, you got the ring, you got all that. And then you end up, well, it's not always happy ever after, because then the divorce, which is more expensive.
Yeah, well, that's another show.
And I think it's just, to me, a wedding is her day, and you're going to have a whole lot of mess. But I just say it like this: if you do it right, it'll be rememberable. But you do it, you know, if you do it one time, that'd be great. But then somehow you do it over and over and over again. So marriage is, I mean, is horrible, but it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I've done it. that I have, but I want to, before I go to break, I want to remind, you know, our guests, because I think, you know, Bridget said it you know, and I get it, Bridget, you know, you were in media, and I asked specifically about you and also about Amber, but when, you know, after the break, I want to talk about the regular folks who and I tried to count myself in that number, you know, a while back when I did it. So, Walter, thank you so much. I mean, you know, and I don't want to scare my, you know, my daughter's, you know, mother or anything like that. This is not a rumor, you know. It's so, yeah. Maya didn't say anything to me. She's good. Nothing's happening. So anyway, look, I need to take a break. Walter, thank you so much, Mary. Erica, we're going to talk to you. Stay with us. I want to hear what you have to say. We are talking about wasteful spending on a wedding. How much is too much? What about those destination weddings? And, you know, are you imposing on your bridesmaids and your groomsmen? Are you asking them to spend a little too much? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. Stretches in for John Mons this week with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. This discussion will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about weddings and money. For those of you who are looking forward to getting married this year, you're probably counting your pennies, trying to make sure that it is everything that you wanted to be, but still trying to make sure that you do not overspend. And then, of course, there are some of you who just don't care whether you overspend or not. And then some of you, you got it like that, so it really doesn't matter. Well, we have some experts to help you move through that process if you're trying to save money and keep from being wasteful. Bridget Bartlett Royal is the founder and editor of Black Bridal Bliss, and Amber Moore is an event planner and CEO of the Right Event Company. If you have a comment, if you have a question, you can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before I go back to the phone lines, Amber, for the regular folks, what are, give me your top three impactful examples of wasteful spending. I mean, something that can really put a dent in that wedding budget.
I'm gonna stick to it and stay on track here, and I'm gonna say rehearsal dinner. It's an added expense that it's last minute a lot of times, and I think you can have a rehearsal for your wedding and not necessarily have to pay for half of your wedding to eat dinner the night before your wedding when you're about to pay, you know, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars for the day of. I would probably say rehearsal dinner is number one. The trend lately has been digital invitations. So maybe stationery would be number two. While it looks pretty and it's great, instead of doing programs, favors, invitations, RSVP cards, maybe find a digital way to go with some of your invitations. And number three, I think I'm going to go with a large wedding party. That's hard. You know, it, not only multiple personalities, but, you know, the pressure, so to say, when going through the line and making sure everybody looks tip-top shape and, you know, who's paying for what and is is this person financially able to pay for this or not that? So I'd probably say those are my top three wasteful things when as it relates to weddings.
What about you, Bridget? Top three most wasteful expenditures?
Okay, first and foremost, I'm going to say getting married, and the first and the second are a tie.
Wait a minute. You said getting married?
No, getting.
You had to check with your husband about that one.
No, I hadn't finished my sentence.
I'm just messing with you.
Getting married between May and October.
Why is that?
Nearly 70% of all weddings take place between May and October. And unless you're in a place that, like Southern California or Southern Florida, you know, a place like the DMV area, you're going to have four seasons. And the winter and early spring and late fall, you have a lot of risk that you take with the with the weather. So the greater the risk, the greater the reward. Also, having a wedding on a Saturday is a huge expense, generally speaking. There are always exceptions, but most venues, they're going to charge you significantly more for a Saturday wedding. So if you don't mind getting married on a Friday or Sunday or even a Thursday is becoming a lot more common, you don't mind
Thursdays
getting married
and Mondays
in November, December, which can be beautiful. You can have the same exact wedding, the same venue, the same amount of guests as someone else that got married during peak on a Saturday for less than half the price. Those savings are significant, to say the least. Right? And then I'm going to say food and beverage, the majority, but it also that goes in line with the number of guests you have. But the food and beverage, you know, we've been sold this idea that at a lot of venues, you have to have a cocktail hour. No, you don't. When you go to someone's home for a dinner party or you go out to eat, you may have an appetizer, but then, you know, you eat your meal. Why do we have to have this colossal cocktail hour that's really like a part one of the meal? We've just been brainwashed into thinking that's something that you need for a wedding, and it isn't. Those are the three biggest ones, and I already touched on the top shelf liquor. You're going to pay for food and beverage. You're going to pay for the day of the week, and you're going to pay for the time of the year. All these venues want to be filled. They don't get as filled, you know, booked as much in the winter. So reap those rewards.
Wow.
I agree with Bridget on that. Working in hospitality for 17 years myself, I will say there are times where we charged higher for the Saturday dates versus a Friday or a Sunday or any other day of the week. And there are peak months that most venues will charge you extra for. So I agree with her on that. Also with the top shelf, there are some cases where you don't even need liquor. You can just do beer and wine. I'll go and maybe do a cash bar for liquor if you absolutely need to, if that helps you save some money.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mary, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Mary. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Fisher and guests. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, just from an ordinary person's standpoint, is it possible to do a wedding for $5,000 or $6,000? Or does it start at $10,000? That's my first question. And the second part of that is the two distinguished guests that you have there, in terms of getting an appointment with them, what would you just connect with them via, you know, email or what have you?
Let's answer that second question first. Bridget, how can someone reach you? Do you have a website? And if so, put it out there. And of course, I will, as always, post it on our website as I do with the podcast every night after 8:30.
Thank you, Harold and Mary. So I do have a website. It's blackbridalbliss.com. Mm-hmm. Conventional spelling, no hyphens, no underscores. I'm also on social media, of course. That's BLK, Bridal Bliss, Instagram, and Twitter. as well as Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you can contact me for a bridal concierge appointment.
And what about you, Amber?
For me, I am on Instagram currently. It's at The Right Event Co. And Right is spelled W-R-I-G-H-T, Event Co. As my Instagram handle. But if we can tack on to the first part of the question in regards to how much for a wedding, whether it's 5,000, 10,000, it really depends on your amount of attendees as well as what's important to you with that dollar amount.
I agree.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a moment, because certainly quality may be in the eye of the beholder, and creativity, Mary, may also have something to do with that. I know Bridget said earlier that she's in media, so I'll give you my example. I am no longer married. However, when I did it back in 2004 and I was in television, one of the things that I did, and I used my resources, and I would recommend that you use whatever resources you may have. And one of the things that I did was the television station that I worked with had some clients, restaurant clients and the like, and some other clients, and we had a really small reception. I think there were like 34 people. Mm-hmm. The wine, there were only two choices. The meals, there were only two. I mean, it was like chicken or fish. It was a very elegant local restaurant that was held. There was, if I remember, this was a long, long time ago, ancient, you know, I think the tablets were stone tablets, but it was a modest event, and good quality doesn't always have to necessarily mean quantity, but I will say that you do have to make some hard decisions about who will attend and who will not. Those are some decisions that you do have, to make. And it was a lovely affair. I don't regret it. So, unlike Bridget said, the biggest waste was getting married. I'm kidding, Bridget. I'm just kidding. But I know. I'm Bridget.
Twist of words.
Bridget, you are never going to live it down, are you? But
no.
Yeah, but Mary, as I said, and as always with every one of our programs after 8:30, our guest information is posted on our website on whur.com. And so the information for both Bridget and Amber will be posted. Okay?
Thank you.
You are quite welcome. Thank you so much for listening and for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Erica, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Erica Cheeks, and I own Posh and Classic Catering and Events. And you can absolutely do a wedding in the D.C. metro area for less than $15,000. And one of the things that I solely concentrate on is the best experience when it comes to the visual aspect. Because Instagram and social media, I think everybody wants this elaborate wedding. But you can actually pull it off and have it in a great place. And the food has to be great. And I think a perfect combination is great food, great visuals, and a good time. And I think that is in the eye of the beholder in the actual bride. But I did a wedding just recently, and it was $17,000 in total with a full band and alcohol. So it could be done. You just have to be very flexible, and you can't be consumed with some of these images on social media.
I think that last point is really, really big. Because, let's face it, there is so much hype about the wedding day, and unfortunately, so much you know, the day after the wedding, or if there's going to be a honeymoon in the, you know, in the days and weeks after the honeymoon, there is that, you know, you there's the metaphorical womp, 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 womp.
That's absolutely it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's and to your guest's point, it's connections. I think people want to go at it themselves, and then they end up being really knee deep into like debt and overpaying. But if you hire a professional, the professionals knows the ins and outs, especially when it comes to good caterers, especially the specialty foods, the venues. I mean, there's a lot that a person can help support, especially when brides, because they don't do it every day. Like, you wouldn't hire somebody to paint your house if they didn't do it every day. So I think people need to take the time and patience to vet event planners, because I think that in itself can save them thousands of dollars.
Mm. Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Erica, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay. So here's my pet peeve, Bridget, of which there are many. Because the pearls are all over the floor now that mm-hmm. I've been clutching since the beginning of this
program. The necklace is broken.
It's broken. it's broken. And I kind of mentioned this earlier. And I've heard this time and time again from friends of mine who are, you know, close to the brides or close to the groom, and they say, you know, my friend is getting married and there's this destination wedding, and I don't know how to tell them, you know, they want me to be there. And they want to do Jamaica or Aruba or Bermuda, and they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with the bridezilla who want, yes?
So first and foremost, we need to have a show just about bridezillas.
That right there.
That part right there.
The short answer to your question, I think COVID, you know, proved this to us. This is a silver lining in COVID. People are having micro weddings, and you can literally have a wedding in a backyard, in a living room. It doesn't even have to be, you know, a courthouse, but it certainly could be a courthouse or justice of the peace situation. But you can have a destination wedding with, say, you know, a handful of people, less than 10 people, and then have a celebration at home for more guests. Now, know that the bigger celebration might be a barbecue, but a barbecue can be really chic. It can still be, you know, a memorable event. You can have a DJ, you can have a photographer, you can have a theme, but, you know, consider a micro wedding. So your destination wedding, to be specific to your question, your destination wedding then becomes the micro wedding.
Absolutely.
If you're doing something, you know, in the Caribbean, overseas, you have. And one thing I try to remind brides of, everyone in your circle is not at the same, rarely is in the same place. So you may have a friend who just got married herself. You may have a friend who just got laid off. You may have a friend who just had a baby. You may have a friend who has, you know, sick parents that she's helping or a guy, you know, is helping, a groomsman helping to take care of. Everyone is not necessarily where you are in life.
And
so keep that in mind.
You know, I was supposed to MC a reception last year for a dear friend and her betrothed. And of course, the pandemic hit and she kept postponing and postponing and postponing. And then finally, she canceled, and then she put out on social media, she said, look, we're just going to go ahead and get married and we'll do something later. And And I remember responding on Facebook, and I said, you know what, love is all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go ahead and do it. And she said, yeah, we're just going to have a party later. And she is one of the flyest sisters I know, if not mm-hmm. the flyest sister I know. And I knew that the event was going to be, in a word, magnificent. But in seeing them live their best married lives post wedding, micro miniature, I mean, getting married at the courthouse kind of thing, you know, I swoon because where they are, in my humble opinion, is better than any ceremony that they could have had. And yeah. And when they finally have that party, it's going to be the bomb. But I think, and they've saved a ton of money, I think, in just going ahead and doing the do, as my mother used to say, I do, we did, we does. And we're still waiting on that party, but nothing, I think, makes me or them or their friends happier than to see them happy. I'm not saying don't do a wedding, but
there's nothing wrong with a party.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Or a vow renewal.
Hey,
go to the Justice of the Peace on Friday. Go to the Justice of Peace on Friday. The following year, that Saturday, is your reception.
Yeah.
Is your, yes, Amber, I agree. I love that idea.
Yes.
And I'm not I'm not trying to put you guys out of business now. Let's be clear.
Well, you still have to plan a vow renewal.
You do?
Right.
Yes. It's just as extensive as a wedding.
See?
because it's a gathering. Even something, think about it, Harold, like all jokes aside.
Right.
If you have more than 10 people to your home, you invite them over for whatever, a house, whatever the event is, it takes planning.
Yes.
You have to make sure you have enough food. There has to be set up. There's cleanup. Like there's, so, you know, I agree. And I think a photographer, you're talking about swooning. I've been swooning at the courthouse weddings and these small weddings. People still hire a photographer.
Yes.
But the pictures are gorgeous.
They are. And they're so intimate. So intimate.
So, you know, a wedding is what you decided to be. So, you know, going to the Justice of the Peace doesn't mean you don't still have memories. You know, you still, I think, should document the day. I happen to love photography, but one thing I will say, just in general, I happen to love photography, but everything in the wedding business is still a business. So people are going to try to upsell you in every category of the day. So maybe to save money, you want gorgeous pictures, of course, but maybe you don't need the album right away.
Agreed. Because maybe the pictures can be digital.
Yes. And I mean, with Shutterfly and all these other things we have now, like, you know, yeah, there are ways to cut in every category. And to Amber's point, you know, there are people who know instinctively how to do that.
Yeah.
And let me say it. I know the photographers are going to be really, you know, upset when they hear me say this. As a person who used to be a photographer. I'm talking pre-digital.
Mm.
I'm talking
film.
Yeah, film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, you know, three trays in the basement. Mm-hmm. I'm talking in larger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want black and white film or color film?
Right.
Photographer. You really need to, as you say, watch the upsell. Because just as easily as you can change black and white to color in your phone, it can be done with a professional photographer.
Yeah.
It is not that hard to do. And, yeah, if you want hard copies, okay, yeah, you are going to pay extra for that.
Right.
But it isn't that expensive. to put it on a disc.
You know, Harold, I agree with that because I think put it on a disc and you print them when you're ready. If I'm being honest, I never had a wedding album. I had all of my photos digitally. I had maybe 10 photos printed to hang up around the house. But I think where the money lies, and I'm sorry to all of my photographer friends, the money lies in the videographers right now. Because that little 8-minute snippet is really captures all of the moments. While the photography captures it still, that videographer is what is going to really capture, you know, the facial expressions and the live emotions throughout that day.
Say that one more time.
The videographer is going to capture the live moments throughout that day. And I think that's where some of the good spending will go for these weddings.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And to accommodate, you know, the logistics for that, I think is where that spending will be. I do have a question also. Cakes have really become
obsolete.
I wouldn't say obsolete. I would say they have become more interesting, I think, than they ever have been before. I have never seen more beautiful, more creative, more cakes have become works of art. But they've also become expensive, and I think that may be, and tell me, Amber, you know, what you think. I think that's got to be a discussion right there as to whether or not, you want a cake. Because outside of the bride, sometimes the cake can be a centerpiece.
Absolutely. The cake definitely is a centerpiece. There's a couple of different ways that you can go about this where you can still have that photo opportunity with your cake. The cake does not have to be 100% real as well. It just needs to be there for the photo opportunity. You get that bottom layer to be actual cake, and then the cake gets taken into the back. And from what your guests know, you might have sheet cake in the back. Yeah. They don't know the difference between what you've cut in front of everybody for that photo opportunity versus what they're being served later on. So while cakes, yes, are very expensive, a few ways to save on that is do a smaller cake. Maybe just do a 2-tier that, you know, is very impactful in the vision, and then you can have substitutions in the back and or do cupcakes of something of the same and or do a dessert station. But there's so many different ways to accommodate that sweet tooth throughout the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. May I add to that?
Absolutely.
So speaking of the dessert station, for my wedding, we had a family friend who bakes cake. She's a retired teacher. She's now deceased, but she was a retired teacher who happened to really know how to bake cake. And I didn't want a traditional, like, 5-tier, you know, white cake. So she did regular cakes, but she did, like, 5. So my husband's favorite cake is carrot cake. We had a carrot cake. There was a red velvet cake. That's my favorite. There was a chocolate cake. There was a, you know, traditional Southern pound cake. And what she did to make it aesthetically interesting is she got different stands, different heights, and there was a table. So the cakes were on the table with the different stands, and it was, you know, it was different. It was interesting, and the cake was actually good. I didn't want like black cake. I wanted cake that, you know,
was delicious.
Tastes like someone's grandma baked it, like, you know what I mean? Personally. I didn't want like a really pretty cake that didn't taste good. And that's another, you know, option or something you can do. You can really do, the rules are gone. You can really create, you know, if you want to serve pie, because that's, you know, maybe something specific to your relationship. There's a way to do that. Maybe you have pie on your first date. No, but there really are people, you don't have to have cake because, you know, traditionally, that's what people do for weddings.
I agree with Bridget because donut walls have also been a huge hit. I have seen pies as well. And I don't know if anybody is familiar with like little bundt cakes, but those have been a huge thing too, where it's not the traditional cake any longer. It is whatever is significant to you and your husband at that time.
Interesting. Real quick, final thought, Bridget, from you.
You know, I think because you mentioned, you know, the perks of working in media or working in the bridal industry.
But for regular folks, you know.
For regular folks, right? I think not enough people tap into their own resources. So I would ask all your potential vendors if they offer discounts for military people, for veterans, for, you know, essential workers, law enforcement, education, a lot of people, because you're a teacher, you just never know. It does not hurt to ask.
Okay.
My mother always told me that. And the second thing I just have to sneak in because it's so important. I wish I remembered this more. The wedding is a day. The marriage is hopefully for the long haul.
There you go. I'll have to have that be the last word for the rest of your lives. But Amber Moore and Bridget Bartlett Royal, thank you, ladies, so very much. I really appreciate it. Hopefully, we learned something today.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you so much, Harold. Mm. All the best.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, July 30th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.